Well, welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Hope you guys are having a great day.
Having a wonderful day.
That was extremely exciting, your intro.
I don't know. I feel like I've got that morning voice. The spring pollen has arrived, everybody.
Oh my gosh. My minivan was coated in the yellow dust.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
But it's exciting because it is getting warm outside.
And North Carolina is so lovely and green in springtime. I love it. I love springtime in North Carolina. It makes me happy.
I love all the time. So.
Wow.
Tell me something exciting happening in your life right now.
Okay. I officially am getting old. I don't know. Josh, I've realized.
This is the exciting thing that's happened in your life right now.
I've had a moment this past week where I was like, are you getting old? And I know I'm not.
Wow.
But I've had to walk through this because it's hit me. You know what's hit? Is that our child, our oldest child, not that he's turning 19 this year, but he's turning 20 next year. Is that weird that I'm thinking of that?
Yeah, because we're like far away from that. We're a whole another year and so many months away.
I know, but it hit me and I was like, oh my gosh, are you getting old?
Are you feeling stressed because of that? If so, this is the episode for you, Anna.
It really is. No, 100%. This episode is for me. And I believe it'll be for you as well. Seriously, we're thrilled that you're joining us. You can check us out, of course, on all platforms. Josh is petting me right now.
Do you need a hug?
You know, I do need a hug. You guys, sometimes you just need a hug. I tell people at church that there are healing hugs where you just hug someone real tight and it's just a good hug.
There are people that have the hug of anointing.
Man, they just hug you.
We've came across a few of those.
And it just
Elka Pay.
Oh my gosh. And you know that they love God and they love you. And it makes you so happy.
Yeah. Alessandro from Brazil.
Yes.
There's some people
we have had some hugs where you're like, I needed that hug.
Then
you start crying. You start crying.
Like they hug you and you start crying and you're like, I'm okay before we hugged. But clearly I'm not. It's amazing.
So, all right.
Okay.
Hey, tell everyone what the title of today's podcast is.
Today's title is Taming the Stress Monster, the Ultimate Survival Guide. I think we've got this. It's going to be amazing. So we've got 3 points that we've come up with here that we believe is very important to manage the stress in your life, to overcome some things. I know this is a hot topic, maybe even a burnt out topic, because everyone talks about stress.
Yes, that's true.
But we wanted to talk about some of the things that we do and how we manage stress, because we have 4 children. We have a congregation of a decent-sized church. We have the headaches of the financial ups and downs. We have the pulls and the tugs on our calendars. I mean, my gosh, so many things in our calendar.
Right. We all could just lay out, each one of us could sit here and just make a list of everything we do in life.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever written out everything that
yes,
you do?
It's awful.
Man, I did it. I did it a few years ago.
It's not therapeutic.
I did it a few years ago and I sent mine to you because I wanted to tell you all the things I was doing. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Were you telling me that so that I'd feel sorry for you?
No, I think maybe. I think I needed
sympathize.
I feel like that we were in a disagreement of something, and then I got my feelings hurt. So I was like, I'll show him everything I do. And then I made a list and wrote down everything that I did in life.
I love you.
And then I sent it to you. And I remember I emailed it to you, which is hysterical. Emailing your own spouse.
Did it include back rubs? I give you back rubs. Anyway, all right, here we go.
You know, these points are loaded, and I got to tell you, stress can be a monster if you allow it to.
Yep.
And for me personally, when we start talking about what we're going to talk about with this podcast, and I said, Josh, we're going to talk about stress, and, you know, we're coming up with this title and coming up with titles for podcasts is special for us. It's not always easy, but I thought stress really can be a monster in your life.
Yeah.
And you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on what your life looks like today. And something in my notes, for me personally, stress weakens our will to live life. I like to call out the monsters. I don't want any monster hiding in a closet. I don't want any monster hiding under my bed. I am not that individual. I want to call it out for what it is, look at it face to face so I know what I'm dealing with, rather than pretending like everything's just okay.
Right.
So whenever I think of stress, I thought it weakens our will to live life to where you're so consumed with what you're going through that you're not enjoying or even fulfilling the life that God has given you to this just beautiful full capacity that he so wants to bless you with and use you in. Can God still use you in the middle of a stressful situation? Yeah, I'm not saying he can't. He's God. But how much more does he want you to enjoy life? Is there a fullness? Okay, I'm going to give an example. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
This is personal. It's a little embarrassing. This past weekend, we're playing baseball with our kids, and I was stressed out over something specific, personal. Not going to tell you guys what it is. I don't need to. And there was another family that was there.
Oh.
You included them to just have fun, which was super fun.
They're little kids.
Yeah. Super fun. So we start talking to them. Great time. But I know that I'm under this stress and I'm trying to enjoy the moment with our children. And then we get to invite this couple to church, which is amazing. So then I'm telling the woman all about the church, Trailhead Church, trailhead.church. Here's the website. But I know that I'm not fully engaged like I should be.
Right. You're not in the moment because you're outside stressing.
Yeah.
Or thinking about the topic.
Yes, because I'm still thinking about this weight, what I've been carrying that doesn't belong to me. And in the middle of it, yeah, great. We invited in the church. Well, Monday morning staff prayer. I'm there at staff prayer, and I'm talking to God about all of this. And the Lord ministered to me. I just ministered at Trella Church Sunday a message. This is why I preached this message, because I was walking through this myself of what it looks like to really cast your cares onto the Lord. So if you need that, go to trailhead.church and watch that message, because I needed it. Anyway, Monday morning, the Lord was like, hey, you had more to give, but you allowed that stress to steal from just giving life to someone. You should have prayed for that lady. They didn't have a church. You could have led her to the Lord that day. And it wasn't from a place of condemnation, but it was calling out that monster of, I don't ever want to miss an opportunity that God has for me because I'm so caught up in my own crap.
Right. I think what stress does, it takes you out of the moment that you're in, and you lose the joy of where you're at, the perspective of what you could or should be doing, and it puts you out here in this world of angst and make-believe, you know, to an extent, a make-believe scenarios where you play it over and over and over again. And then what happens is then you miss the external moment that you're in right now. You're in this internal moment that you can't do anything about, but you're missing the external moments that you have to do some really cool things.
That's it. That's totally it.
So I think it's important that we begin to create the triggers to go, okay, stop. I'm missing the moment I'm in. How many times have you walked up to somebody and you're like, hey, and your level of just kind of like everything's great and their level is really down and you're like, whoa, why is it so bad? You know, you sympathize with them, you try to help them, but it's hard because you're like, man, I don't want to be the person that people walk up to and I'm changing the atmosphere because I haven't, and I say this very loosely to anyone who's listening or watching, I haven't regulated myself and the situation appropriately. Now I'm changing the atmosphere for everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to change the temperature of the room because I don't know how to manage stress properly.
You want to call out the stress monster. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Monday, when the Holy Spirit ministered that to me, I said, God, I'm sorry. I thank you, Lord, that you've been ministering this to me because you have something far greater. And I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to pray with someone because I'm so caught up in stress that it's all about me, that I am internalizing rather than focusing, having this outward focus of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't deal with things. That's not what we're talking about. But are you dealing with the stress that you're under appropriately? I guess that's why that's ultimately why we're having this podcast. Because I want to live life. You want to live life and really enjoy it. Have you made that decision today? And that life that you're going to enjoy is only the Zoe kind of life, God kind of living. Is God created us to live stressed to the max to where we're unable to even take an opportunity to minister to someone? No, that's the complete opposite of what he said. Totally. You got a scripture?
Well, I'm bringing into the first point.
Okay,
here.
First point.
So the first point that we have to your ultimate survival guide is to stop believing the lies. You have got to become aware of the truth of what it is. And this all starts with, and we know this be in the Christian faith, how we stand on this, and that is to renew our minds daily. Paul is huge on this process, that we need to renew our minds towards Christ and the things of Christ to focus on that. John talks about it. And so it's really important that we focus in on renewing our mind so that we're not carrying all of this internal stuff and we just cast it away. So you got to stop believing the lies because stress lies to you. And we say this often here at Trailhead Church, and it's a reminder that the thief, so John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And some people think that that's just an external process, but it's actually an internal process. It from the inside out, he comes in to corrode, to corrupt, and he'll do it from external things that are happening, but internally, it's that hardship that you forget. You start focusing on the hardship, the problems, and then you forget about the goodness of God and what God's come to do, which is what? To give them a rich and satisfying life. And so knowing the truth that God has for you, that's going to set you free.
Okay, and you guys, you can say, oh yeah, renew my mind, that's great. No. You actually have to get into the Word of God and do it. This is every day. None of us are exempt from this. This is typically, whenever I am stressed out, it's because my brain is like imagination station up there, mm-hmm. and I have created scenarios that are false, or I'm thinking about my oldest son turning 20 next year and that he's all grown up, and then I get sad, then I think... And he's 18 years old right now. I'm over here stressing out over a child growing up that's nowhere near that. There's a reason why Jesus told us, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Tomorrow has enough trouble. You take care of today. And whenever you renew your mind today, then what you're doing is inviting God in to... help you, the greater one who's greater than any of this. You're inviting him in to help you with everything that you're walking through today. And you guys, you got to focus on the truth and not believe the lie. Did you know that your mind is the organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith? Your mind is not the organ of receiving the world's thoughts through unbelief. That's what the world would try to give us. No, your mind is the organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith. You have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that we have the mind of Christ, that you actually hold the thoughts and the purposes or the feelings of his heart. You were created by God, and your mind, your brain, was also created by God. There's a really good scripture and Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, that says, and this is a beware. So this goes with not believing the lies. And you guys, this is applicable of you getting in and going, oh my gosh, why am I focusing on this? Why am I reading this? Why am I looking at what the world has to say? Maybe you're stressed out about your finances and all you're doing is reading about everything going on in the world financially and inflation and all of this stuff, rather than allowing what the word says to determine. Did you realize that God is the greatest giver, that he holds all of the finances?
Right.
And that, I mean, these are thoughts that we need to get in. We got to focus on what he has to say. Maybe you're stressed out about your children. Sweet gravy. I understand that. Have you got in the word of God and renewed your mind about whatever stressor it is with your child? This is full of power, God's word. Have you got in and renewed your mind according to, maybe you're stressed about, you know, you got a coworker that you guys are just rubbing each other wrong and it's just a terrible inter-office, you know, dynamic. You guys, these are stressors, daily stressors that we have to go to the Lord with. So Colossians 2:8 says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ, this is verse 9, lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. Jesus is the head of every ruler and authority. So you've got to beware that you are not living according to man's views or the world's view. And that's why you're so stressed out about everything.
Right.
You're believing the lie of what everyone else has to say, what your coworkers have to say, what's happening in their marriage, what's happening in their kids, what's happening, you know, in their life. Well, or, you know, you're single and you're like stressed out thinking you're going to be single forever. Is that what the Lord told you? Is that what the word said? Because here's the thing. If you're just believing every statistic under the world, then you are not operating from a kingdom mindset and you're missing out on this beautiful Zoe God kind of life that's far greater than what the world has to offer.
Yeah, we need to stop and analyze where the stress is coming from, what kind of root has been established, because it's a seed. And so walk through it. Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? Why are these thoughts here? Why do I think this way? Begin to ask yourself. I mean, I would write it down and ask. And could it be from, is the stress from a root of jealousy, bitterness? Is your stress from, just the overwhelming amount of things, whatever it is, you have to begin to like write that stuff down and see it for what it is. Now, the reason why I say that is because the book of James talks about this, and it's in James chapter 3, verse 16, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So you may have the stress of finances, and that's because you are looking at the Joneses down the street, or you're concerned about tomorrow. And even James warns us of that in James chapter 4, this idea of today and tomorrow, it's too uncertain. But then by going to the renewing of the mind and finding that root and going, okay, what is the root of this? Why am I stressed? Is it because I'm on social media and I see everyone else's life, the highlights, and I'm trying to mimic this, or I'm trying to keep up with this. So then, therefore, you become stressed, you know. Maybe you're looking at your children, and you see other families, and they're like, wow, they got it all together. You know what I'm talking about. So in verse 17 of James chapter 3, it says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It also is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. When you have the mind of Christ, you're a peacemaker. Therefore, when you enter the room, you're a peacemaker and you're sowing seeds of harvest of righteousness.
What's that scripture again, James?
James 3, verses 17 through 18.
Okay, James 3, 17 and 18 in my little Anna Meditate on This note section that I keep where I like meditate on scriptures to renew my mind when I'm feeling stressed out. Okay. I'm very intentional about this. And I even have, that's a set of the scripture that I have in my notes, James 3, 17 and 18. I actually have it in the Amplified because I love how it reads in the Amplified. And I put that set in whenever we were dealing with some stress here at the church and we were working together on some things. And I realized when I get stressed out, because I am vocal, well, you're going to hear about it, and it doesn't always come across in a peace-loving manner. So in calling out that stress monster, you're recognizing who you are and what you deal with. I got intentional. I put it in my notes, and I began to meditate on that scripture, okay? And then I'd start to ask myself, one, have I asked God for wisdom? And then I began to mark down those attributes of what that scripture looked like. All right, Lord, I need help with this. Call out these stress monsters in your life. Write them out, and then you're going to find a scripture through the Word of God. I want you to take it, actually list out, all right, stressed about finances. This is what I've done in my notes. Then I put in a scripture that I begin to meditate on. Then I'll even put little personal notes about God's blessing. Then same, like I do it in categories.
Yeah,
so that way I start to apply these scriptures to whatever it is. Then I can go back to my notes, and if I feel that stress coming up, I immediately go to that scripture and begin to speak it out. Tell those thoughts to go in Jesus' name, cast them down, and replace it with God's word. So that way you don't live in this constant state of torment, or you're not paralyzed by fear, or you're not in a position where you're missing out on life, where really the Lord ministered to me, hey, you have more to give. Stop being so trapped in your own thoughts that you miss out on these opportunities to give more. What a great wake-up call.
Yeah.
All right, point number two.
Point number two is organization is key. I'm big on this. I love organization. I love everything in its place. I love walking into a room that's clean, that is put away. I love seeing when I can sit down and I don't have to think about all of that stuff. Man, it is so peaceful for me. So I know the importance of organization.
And then he married me.
That's... It's kind of true, but it's not. It's okay. I love you. It doesn't matter.
I know, but I don't see things like you see things.
Yeah, but you too want a...
But I want it organized, 100%. Organized. We are on the same page with that.
Yeah, you want it organized.
I want it organized.
You want to be able to relax.
And clutter does stress me out.
Right.
Right. Are you stressed out because you're a clutter bug and your house is filled with clutter and you need help?
I think, yes. And so that's where it's... acknowledging where do you need help, how are you going to get it, and then making the effort to say, we're going to do this, or this is going to happen. So managing is really important. Now, I know managing doesn't come easy for everybody. I mean, I went to school, business school of management, to learn how to manage, and that's important. So I know that you've got to go to school for some of those things. So it's not like it just comes natural, and there's a way to do it. So, but managing yourself is probably the first step in ordering to be able to manage others. But managing yourself is tough because we all deserve a break sometimes, you know? So you start getting into that mindset of like, I'm just going to take off, not do this.
You're
not
stepping
do that.
On toes right now.
You're pushing things out from your responsibility and saying, bah. So setting some real key organization is important. How are you going to do it? How are you going to achieve the stress-free lifestyle?
Okay. Organization comes natural to you.
Yeah, but...
And for some people it does, and some people it doesn't.
There's layers to this that when I'm saying organization is key, I'm not talking about just walking into a room and organizing it so that you have a stress-free environment. But I'm also talking about the larger environment as well of how you manage your relationships with others,
okay,
how you manage your house, your family, your calendar. It's all of these aspects.
Can you talk about lists? You're a list person. So give us some of the things that you do. Because for me, I am the one that I have to ask for help when it comes to organizing my house. Or I get distracted very easily. So it's like if I could talk to someone on the phone while I'm doing things, then I'll stay on task because otherwise it becomes very challenging. Or I get frustrated and then I get stressed out because you'll come in and organize the room in 10 minutes and that would have taken me 2 hours. So then I beat myself up over feeling like a loser that I could not do that. And then you're like, come on, baby, this is easy. You got this. And I'm like, I want to punch you in the face. This is not easy for me. I don't even know what to do with all this crap. I'd rather just put it in a trash bag and give it to Goodwill or throw it all away and not care anymore. And you're like, you can't throw all that away. And I'm like, no. I might have to. I just might have to. We watched a documentary about being minimalist a few years ago, and we like made it a marriage moment. You watched it first, then you had me watch it, and then we went through our house and we cleaned it up.
We did.
And it was extremely beneficial for me because it made me feel good. I really don't like having clutter, but I do need help, and I need someone to just kind of spur me on. I will say this. If you're like me, don't be afraid to ask a friend to come over and help you. I've asked multiple friends to come help me, and it's been such a blessing when they do.
Yeah.
Like, humble yourself. Is pride getting in the way of you being organized? If it is, go to God and ask for help. Humble yourself and bring a friend alongside of you. Don't be so prideful that you just live in the dirt, okay? You're worth more than that.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus has made you worthy. You are worth more than living in an unorganized place of chaos. Also, I glean from people that are organized, so I have to write down notes. I put it in my phone. I make a list. It's extremely helpful. And then the next thing for me is I've got to not beat myself up over not being like someone who's super organized. You know, I have my process, and as I start to walk through it, I'm growing in it, and that's okay.
Right. I think it's the stagnant approach of just being complacent is the concern.
Correct.
So therefore, you need to take steps forward. There's nothing worse than a complacency of like, this is just who I am, deal with it. And it's like, you're not trying to better yourself. That is the concern. And sometimes you don't realize it, and it may take somebody on the outside to say, hey, and I pray that it's someone who's loving, who is full of joy and peace, and they are willing to walk through with it and say nice things along the way of doing it. Because it's, I mean, I know that a lot of people aren't, so this is a better way to say it. I was told this years and years ago. It's really funny. You don't know your couch is dirty until it's on the side of the road.
Oh my gosh. Like those gross mattresses that people throw out.
Right. You slept on it the night before, but now that it's on the side of the road,
don't talk about it.
You're
don't,
like, oh man, you know, you see it and you're like, gosh, I was sleeping on that, or I was sitting on that.
Nasty.
So that's the awareness that some of us need. So maybe you need to begin to pray, God, make me aware, send me someone who is loving, full of peace, that's going to walk through this process with me to show me some of my errors. But now if you start praying that prayer, don't get upset when they arrive.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Don't turn your problems and flip it to be that you're the problem, that the other person is. You can't say, I need help. Someone comes in to start helping, and then you get all bitter and offense, and you start pointing to them. That's sad. And that happens a lot. So you being organized need to be smart. I myself, I've got lists. I love lists. I love accomplishing lists that when I'm done with it, it's like the best thing ever. My church, our office staff, I've placed in a process called a scrum meeting. We do a scrum meeting every morning, and the scrum meeting is the best because it deals with post-it notes all on this board, and it's based, and the post-it notes are color-coded to each staff member of where the task is and what needs to be accomplished and how fast and all that kind of things. And it is awesome because we just move it down. Every day feels like a victory to me, and I love when my colored notes are not up there. Like, it's my best, because I
celebrate. Celebrate the organization.
Yeah.
Celebrate the list being accomplished. Celebrate really what God's doing.
Yep.
In and through you. So then you're having joy with this. Something we wrote down in our notes for us as well when it comes to organization being key is setting boundaries, or boundary setting. Are you totally stressed out because you have no boundaries and you've just let everybody through your door? I went through a season where I was max stressed out. You know, as pastors, and then I'm on social media, you're not. This would be a good example for you, but I'm on social media, and I had people communicating with me on all social media platforms to the point where I was so stressed out of not feeling like I was going to meet everybody's needs, but yet it wasn't their problem. It was my problem.
That's good.
So I had to start to set a boundary where I don't respond to these platforms, or I redirect you to contact the church, whatever the format is that, you know, you need to use, or what I needed to use was to have one location for them to contact me. So that way I didn't feel like I was failing in stressed out in being a pastor. That truly helped me to just release that and to get organized in my life. For you, you got off all social media because you realized it was a stressor.
Yeah, I felt like it was a second Josh that I had to maintain and uphold, and I didn't want that.
You got to be willing to, and I wasn't out there trying to hurt people's feelings, and I'm very kind about it, but I just had to be straight up like, hey, I can't manage all of this. I don't think I was created to manage all of these different avenues of meeting everybody's needs and my husband and my four children. Are you just totally stressed out and overwhelmed because you are trying to meet everyone's needs and you can't? It's okay to go, oh, that's too much. Actually, after we had our fourth kid, I was so tired. I had all of these grand ideas that I was going to go run a marathon. It's like, I don't even know what I was thinking. I had some crazy goals for that first year after I had my fourth child. And then 3 months in, I was so tired that I actually brushed my teeth with Desitin, which is like a butt paste for babies. And I didn't even realize it until I was halfway through. I started crying in the bathroom. And then I felt like I wasn't getting anything accomplished, that everything was just a mess. And I remember the Holy Spirit ministering to me. And I was like, God, I need help. I'm legit. I feel nuts right now. I'm stressed out. I'm not doing anything I want to. I've made this grand list that was not even a list that I needed to make, okay? And the Lord said, Anna, you can't do everything, but what you can do, do it to the best of your ability. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit ministered. So then I wrote down, what can I do every day? I knew I could do the dishes each day. I knew there were things that I could do in that beginning season of having four children that would make me feel good. And then the rest of it, I just rolled it onto Him and put that care onto the Lord. That was huge in helping me to de-stress.
Mm-hmm.
That was me getting organized in a way to where I was proud of myself.
Yeah, small steps, chip them away. Don't take giant, I mean, if you can, take them if it's healthy and you can do it. But small things, add to your daily routine.
Know your season.
It's a daily thing. This goes back to the original first one of like, think about today, not worry about tomorrow, but every single day, like, what am I going to do today? Every single hour, how am I achieving this? By half of the day, ask yourself, have I achieved this? What's keeping me from it? Begin to analyze your day to see why you're being successful or why are you failing? So ask those questions.
And what can I accomplish to the best of my ability today?
Right. So the third point, resilience building. So that you're building a foundation to actually succeed. We're leading into this process. So renewing your minds on a regular daily process, staying on the truth of what God's word says, and then processing that organization of how am I going to do it, be successful, presenting those lists, creating environments where you can thrive. And then that third step here is that resilience building, having a foundation where you are going to succeed, because as you begin to surround yourself with God's joy, it's going to help you navigate through challenging situations so that you are resilient. So having the mind that's renewed, you begin to see the joy of I'm here in this moment. Look at me. I'm here in this moment. I can breathe. I am doing well. I'm clothed. I have food. I have loved ones. If you're having a hard time seeing through that fog, I know there's so many different ways to go get help. Maybe it's helpful, and I'll give you one example or one thought, is find someone. Lord, pray that you'll send someone that is walking in this, that is a few steps in front of you. That's always key. A mentor, but maybe a best friend, someone who has overcome the stress that you can say, hey, would you come alongside me? Because I see in your life fruitfulness, joy, peace. maybe it's someone of age, someone who's a little older than you, whatever it is, but ask them to be your best friends. Ask them. But here's the deal. You can't put the responsibility on that person. You're the responsible party. So don't go to that person and be like, hey, will you make me do these things? Will you be my accountability partner? And then you put the weight of that responsibility on them when it's your responsibility. You're the one going to them. So you need to be calling them up and asking them for lunch, breakfast, coffee, whatever, spending time with them. Go to them and ask, can I be around you? But it's your responsibility, number one.
Stop being a victim.
Yep.
You are a victor in Christ Jesus. When I think of this resilience building, I look at that word tenacity, right? Mm. That you are tenacious to say, I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. You get just this Holy Ghost boldness rising up on the inside of you that says, God, I want to move forward. So even whenever God brings you that person that you're walking in life with, you've got a mindset change where you're not just dumping your problems on them all the time, but you're walking through the blessings. You're focused on the blessings. I like that you started with that. I'm breathing. I'm alive. Right? Remember what we opened with? Stress weakens our will to live life. This is where you get in and you start to focus on the blessings of the Lord. And you guys, I've had to do this where I start to write out just every aspect of blessing in my life, that I start to get in and remind myself. I don't want to be like the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they complained all the time. And they just live stressed out to the max in my mind. I want to get in and focus in on who God is, what He's done. And if you're saved, you've already had the greatest miracle of Jesus Christ's salvation in your life. You have a lot to be thankful for. He has moved you from death to life already. And you're like, oh yeah, that's easier said than done. Okay, fine. Then just live in that pit. You don't have to though. I love Corrie Ten Boom said, there's no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. God's love is deeper than that pit of despair, despondency. If you're in a place of dread, if you're thinking, I don't even know where to begin, the Holy Spirit has a point of beginning for you. And despite not that day of small beginnings. For me, a de-stressor of resilience, of building that resilience, when we go through hard things, I like to get out and walk. And I'll put worship music in, or when we walk, we'll talk about the blessings of God, not the stressors of life. We are very intentional with that, because anytime we start walking and start talking about stress, then it like ruins our whole walk and we hate it.
Right.
So we're very intentional to get in and use words to speak life. So maybe you just need to start walking 20 minutes a day, put some praise music on, and get going. Yeah. You know, that's a total North Carolina phrase. Get going.
Get going.
You got to get going.
Yeah. I think you examining that stress of it all, of where is your foundation? So with, again, analyzing some of the stressors that you have, asking yourself, and I think, you know, John talks about it, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. So I believe that, and I've heard, I've read this in books, Mark Batterson, actually, author and pastor, he's written this, and it's the knowing that when you don't have the things of God in focus, then everything else can come upon you, whether you want it or not. But if you focus on Christ, then the things of God, the passion, the vision, the perspective, those things, when you're focused on Him, will keep you from absorbing the things of this world. So I would venture to say, if you're overstressed, then you haven't been placing your focus on the things of God. So therefore you've succumbed to this world. And whether you'll deny it and you'll say, well, I don't love this world. That might be relative, because you'll say, well, I don't love this world, but maybe you do. And it's just not in the terms of the love word or the language. So that resilience building is when you're focused on the passion, the things of God, that vision you have for him, you're not going to have time for all the other things of this world. And God will keep you aligned because he does what he says he'll do. He finishes all things. So if he starts a thing, he's going to finish it.
That's right.
We know this to be true. So that's very important that you don't lose that. He who started a good work will
complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
So if you want to have resilience, if you want to grow, if you want to succeed, then you're going to have to find that passion for the things of God and not for your selfish ambitions. So be a resilience builder. You're going to have to start building on a firm foundation on Jesus Christ. What is my gift, my talent? What, God, what have you given me to actually build the kingdom of God? That's going to change you.
And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will reveal any selfish ambition or areas from this world that you have been relying on to fill that void or to fuel that stress that's even adding more stress. That in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit shows you the same way he's showing us and the same way that we can take that to the Father and ask the Lord for help and begin to go to him because you are complete in Christ Jesus. Food doesn't make us complete. Outside sources of, you know, addictions don't make us complete. People won't make you complete. You going out and having random relationships and open whatever this, that won't make you complete. Only through Christ Jesus can you become complete.
Correct. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed. Share this with your friends. Tell them about it. Give them some encouragement today.
This has been good. Pass it along. Bring some along with you. We love you guys.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.